On this day, the Lord has acted. You will rejoice and be glad in it. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Dear people of God, today is the Feast of Feasts, the day God has acted against our greatest foe, death, the day on which the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep rose gloriously from the tomb and bodily appeared to his disciples over 40 days, first among them to Mary Magdalene. The Easter Gospel that we've heard tells us of this first encounter in the most tender of terms. The woman whose love for her Lord was undying meets again the one whom she loves precisely when she thinks everything is over and hopeless. And this good news comes to her with the saying of one word. Her name, Mary. Jesus calls her by name and she is made whole because her love can continue with the one who will never die again. And because Christ is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, when she falls asleep, she will awake in his likeness. Indeed, this has already happened for her. She is joined what the Bible calls the great cloud of witnesses, praying for us right now and cheering us on. This Easter, I want to focus right there, this business of witnesses. And I want to talk about it in terms of hearing our name. Our name called by Jesus when all seems hopeless and lost, and also when all seems hopeful and great. Because the resurrection is about both, as the Easter Gospel makes clear. Mary goes from great weeping to great joy. If all is great for you right now, filled with light and hope, the resurrection says, Amen. Bear witness to the blessing. If all is not hopeful and filled with light, you're here to hear your Mary. Your name being called like hers from behind your back as you gaze into what seems to be the empty tomb of your life right now. Indeed, the risen Jesus has already said your name many times before. And you, like Mary, are also being called to be a witness. I want to talk about that. Many years ago, I was in seminary in the chapel, and we were with many of our fellow students about ready to graduate. We were expectant and open, as the dean was to be our preacher that night. What would he say to this soon-to-be graduated class, a group of still wet-behind-the-ears seminarians, frankly quaking in our boots that we were about to be pushed from the nest? I don't know whether it was by design that the dean chose to preach that night, but the appointed gospel was about Easter, a resurrection appearance of Jesus and the very closing words of Luke's gospel. Jesus himself stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. You are witnesses to these things. The dean then told us what I'm here to tell you today. You are witnesses to these things. At perhaps no time in Christian history is it more important than that we be witnesses to these things. What things? First, the things that Jesus said, the resurrection, coming home to God, and the forgiveness of our sins. All the things Jesus did and taught, all the things that we will proclaim in but a few minutes in the Nicene Creed. But one more thing, that Jesus has called your name. Called it when all was hopeful and light-filled. Called it when, like Mary, you have been weeping, saying, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Because whatever empty tomb we have looked into in our life as believers, it is the Lord's presence that we have found there again and again. Again and again, haven't we? We have heard our name being called through our tears. Mary, Gordon, Terry, Karen, Peter, John, Kate. It happened for Mary. It has happened for us. It happens in different ways at different times, but happen it does. A word, a touch, a peace, a rescue, his pointing the way, his parting the way, his love enfolding us, his forgiveness felt, an increase in faith and love, a healing given, a deep trust in the Father's care. Often it is all of these at different times and more. You know how it happens for you. We are witnesses. Witnesses to this truth of the risen Jesus coming to us when all we see is an impossible empty tomb, and also when we're just simply saying our prayers. This is the deeply personal truth. We are witnesses to all that he did, Peter tells the crowd today, assuring them that God loves all people and calls all people. But it is also the personal truth within Peter's message that matters so. Peter is saying, "We were sorrowful, and now we are filled with joy. We felt defeated, but in fact, we were just about to triumph. We had a relationship like Mary that we thought was over, but in fact, it was just beginning. Because he has risen and come to us." We too can tell our personal story of the risen Jesus in our lives. Indeed, we must. I'm reminded of my late maternal grandfather. He was a pastor. At the end of his life, he wrote a little book called 70 Years of Miracles. It's a sweet but very powerful book. He looks back and remembers. But you know, the truth is that any believer can write that book. Because Jesus is risen and at work in your life and mine, we too have a testimony to give of what the Lord has done and done for us. We need to be much less bashful about sharing these things. It's always been important to me that one of the things Jesus does for his disciples after his resurrection is open the scripture for them. The Bible seems to many a great mystery of interpretation these days. There is mystery there, to be sure. But there is mostly just the story of what happened. In a very real sense, the Easter story is the simplest of all. If the devil has been busy at work these days, I believe it's chiefly in the work of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of the story of salvation, the story of God's great love for us, the story of our name being called, revealed to us in Scripture. And in a very real sense, forgetfulness of experiences we have had, experiences born of Christian community, the life of the church, word and sacrament, rejoiced in Sunday in and Sunday out. But God is bigger than that, or any problem. He is the one who triumphs over death in all its forms. Nothing is too big. As the old church saying goes, God makes a way out of no way. He is Lord of all. We're just called to be his witnesses to all he has done in the world, in the church, and for us. You know, it would probably be good if the clergy said more often that baptism is an Easter sacrament, a sacrament with a very special moment within the service. Name this child, we said. John, Mary, Peter, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are baptized there by name into the death and resurrection of Jesus. And even as Mary was called by name in the Easter Gospel, we are called by name at the font of new birth. Our name is called there first by those who already believe, our parents and godparents, promising to be witnesses of these things. And again, our name is called by the priest as the water is poured, who, with the whole congregation, also promises to be witnesses to these things. But most of all, it is Jesus calling our name. You are my disciple, my witness. I know your name. I am with you in joy. I am with you in tears. Your name is known to me and to my Father. You, beloved child of the Father, get ready for your 70 years of miracles. We are witnesses to being this loved. Let me end with a very brief story. It's the story of my brother, who just happens to be named Peter. Peter went through a dark time in college. He had wandered from the faith. It was required that he take a certain literature course to graduate. It just so happened that the course readings included the four Gospels and some of Paul's letters. Peter said that as he read the scripture, this peace came upon him. As he put it, he just knew that it was all true. I'm here to tell you, it's all true. I'm just a witness to the witnesses of Scripture, so to speak, but I know exactly what my brother Peter means. And one more thing, like you, like my brother Peter, I have heard the gospel calling to me quite personally. Jesus speaking in my heart, it is all true in one situation after another. I have felt it when all was light-filled and all was dark. And I give thanks for the great cloud of witnesses through the centuries, like my grandpa. And for you. You have been witnesses too to me, as much as I've ever been to you. Hundreds and hundreds of you through the years, bearing witness, piercing my forgetfulness, reminding me of what I already know deep in my baptized bones. Christ is risen and is calling us each by name. Okay, the risen Jesus didn't deliver a sermon, he just said her name, Mary. So I'm gonna wrap it up. Wrap it up with the words of that other Peter. It's all true. Now, go and tell others how it's been true for you. You are his witness. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.